Recorded Books presents The Art of Dying, Writings 2019-2022 by Peter Sheldahl, narrated by T. Ryder Smith. Foreword, Peter Sheldahl, Steve Martin. Cezanne doesn't cut it. When I heard Peter utter this sentence at a dinner party, I knew I was in over my head. Peter, at these dinners where no one was shy with opinions, would sit tolerantly, head tucked in, allowing us all to blather until our balloon heads had deflated. He would wait for the inevitable pause, raise his head, and speak so cogently that if we had a stenographer present, he would have another ready-made New Yorker essay. In 2003, at one of those extravagant peer art fairs, I ran into Anne Stringfield, a New Yorker staffer who fact-checked my essays and contributed to the art listings. She was with Peter, the magazine's art critic. We were introduced, politely. Peter was as insightful with people as he was with art. He had picked up on something, and when I left, said to Anne, "Well, you run in some interesting circles." 5 years later, she and I were married. Anne and I happily attended Peter's annual 4th of July fireworks night in rural Bovina and played miniature golf at his wife Brooke's Rip Van Winkle-themed course, which is free for the whole community. In Manhattan, they hosted Anne and me at comfy, home-cooked dinners with stellar company. Artists, Via Selmans, Martin Puryear, Thomas Noskowski, writers and critics, Roberta Smith, Deborah Solomon, Jerry Saltz, notables, Ann Temkin, Kent Sepkowitz, and one comedian. Their apartment on St. Mark's Place was 5 flights up, accounting for Peter's trim figure and fleet walking pace. Modest but potent artworks that had gravitated to Peter and Brooke through the years hung cockeyed on the royal blue walls. Bruce Nauman, Susan Rothenberg, Cindy Sherman. A de Kooning painting on newsprint, a gift from the artist worth 10 years' rent, stayed firmly in place, despite its potential on the auction block. Peter's writing was exemplary. Finding a gem is almost too easy. Simply open any of his books of collected essays to a random page and put your finger down, which I have just done. Kippenberger's nihilism blew through the world like a yakking ill wind. Peter's goal, per him, was to have one idea at least per sentence. His best mentoring, he said, came from journalists, which makes sense. His reviews have an urgent quality, breaking news. There's a new old painter in town, Hans Holbein the Younger. Peter luxuriated in rare words. He liked dormant but appropriate vocabulary that otherwise might languish in the dictionary. Startling words occur in sentences, as if to say, perhaps you'd like to try this wine instead. Always perfect, they could jar a sentence midway, unless you wanted to skip over them and miss out on the prize. I recently ran across the phrase, Kandinsky's epigones. Epigone, a less distinguished follower or imitator of someone, especially an artist or philosopher. He turned 12 words into one with a wave of his wand. What a useful word, you think. An epigone is not just a follower, but a less distinguished follower, especially of an artist. And here I am, using it. It's easy to think you can write like Peter, intrepidly flinging words around, but it's dangerous. Even as I type his sentences, it's like slipping on someone else's clothes. Hey, this almost fits. But an observer will tell you that you look odd. It's one thing to learn the word epigone, but it's another to find out you are one. One September day in 2010, Anne and I received an urgent communication from Peter. The Fricks Rembrandt self-portrait from 1658, the best painting in the museum, if not the world, according to Peter, was in the process of being courtesy cleaned at the Met. Would we like to drop in on the conservation lab and see the work in progress? Oh, yes. Peter had written nimbly about Rembrandt, on the intricacies of Rembrandt's drawing of Cain killing Abel. The drawing...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?